Okay, so last time we were talking about the irreversibility of death, and it seemed very, 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 very theoretical. It's not. It seemed theoretical, but we'll talk about it. We'll just go over the timeline again. You should pay attention. If you haven't heard that sheer, please listen to it. We're just going to put a timeline up again. Because there are two very, very, very halakha l'maisa nafkaminas from that very, very theoretical discussion. Strange, but true. So we talked about, we're going to make a function, we're going to say, I don't care how you define death. There's something out there, we're going to call it some physiological function x, that without it you are dead. Okay, when function x exists, you're alive. When function x goes, you're dead. Maybe function x is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things together. Whenever it exists, you're alive. When it's not there, you're dead. You can either be alive or dead. We don't allow for somewhere in between. Okay? I don't care what you think it is. It's the heartbeat, it's breathing, it's the brainstem, it's the whole brain, it's conscious thought. Whatever you want to say it is, it doesn't matter, this applies. So we have a, we made a timeline, right? So at one point, function x stops. Right? That's A. At B, you find out that function x stop. Right? Sometimes there could be a delay, there could not be a delay, but this delay is theoretical, right? You only find out later. Right? C is also theoretical, but function x becomes irreversibly stopped. Right? This assumes that most things that stop can be restarted. It's not always true, but it could be true, right? So C could be very close to A. C could be before B, right? It could be irreversible before you find out it stopped. It might not be reversible at all, so then it doesn't apply. But in theory, so long as something is reversible, there's C, and then there's D, you find out it's irreversible. Okay? So C is, many things are reversible, and at some point it becomes irreversible. And D is when you find out. So we had a whole discussion, does it really happen when you find out, or does it really happen when it exists? And we said that most people are going to be comfortable saying, certainly after the fact. If I ask you the question an hour and a half later, you'll say it was really at point C that a person is dead. I think we all agreed on that, that at some point later, if I ask, it's really point C. When the function becomes irreversible, then the person is dead, not when I find out. Okay? So just one note about that discussion, and then we'll move on to the nafkaminas. Points B, C, and D, right? When the function stops, that happens. And let's talk about the heartbeat, because that's easy to measure. Or breathing, let's say breathing. When a person stops breathing, now a person stopped breathing in the year 1500, a person stops breathing in the year 2011, I know when that happens, right? Nothing changed, he stopped, objectively he stopped. When do I find out about it? Well, that's going to change, right? Sorry, point A is the same. Point B, when do I find out about it? Well, that's going to change with the times. What technology do I have to find out, right? Is it reversible? Well, that's also going to change with technology, right? Let's say a heartbeat. It's a little bit easier to understand why it changed, right? We have defibrillators. So let's say the heartbeat. The heart stops. How do I know it stops? Well, it stops at some point in time. When do I know it stops? Well, it depends if I have an EKG on this guy or not, or I'm feeling his chest. I'll know at different points, right? That changes with history. Point C, when it becomes irreversible, changes with history, because now I have been shocked again, right? And point D, when I find out that it's irreversible, also changes with history. It was interesting to point out that points B, C, and D will change depending on what context we're in, but in each and every time period, it will apply. Irreversibility is defined today. Is it reversible today? Okay? Yeah, any questions on that? Fine. So there are two, really one, but it's two different discussions. Why do we care? Yeah?
I'm imagining that you bring that up, that last point, in terms of how it reflects on the different commentaries of the Schopenhauer and stuff like that.
Right, we're going to assume in everyone's definition, assumes irreversibility given their time period, right? You can't say, but maybe I could have used a defibrillator on the guy and time to come up.
Implying that there's some sense of inapplicability from those sources.
No.
Why?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Because if it's when the heart, if the definition of death is when you irreversibly stop breathing, and that's what the Rishonim say, so whenever you irreversibly stop breathing, we'll talk about the definition. That's the definition. Definition doesn't change.
Okay.
How do I know that it's irreversible will change.
Right. Okay.
We'll talk about that when we talk about brain death, which we'll talk about I don't know if we'll talk about it today. So in the United States, there's something called the UDDA, the Uniform Definition of Death Act. It was suggested in 1981 by the President's Commission on Biomedical Problems, and it has like a three-line name, whatever was the predecessor to the President's Council on Bioethics. So they suggested the UDDA. The UDDA says death is defined by, you have two ways to be dead in this country. They suggested this, and it was then adopted. They can't. They don't have the right to legislate. So either brain death, which we'll talk about extensively, I'm purposely being vague, brain death, or the irreversible cardiopulmonary arrest. So anyone, what does it mean, irreversible cardiopulmonary arrest? Irreversible, we know. Cardio, heart, pulmonary breathing, arrest. Your heart, you're both your heart and your breathing stops irreversibly. In this country, it says almost all jurisdictions. I don't know any jurisdiction that's not like that, but that's where the President's Council says it. You have both options, brain death or irreversible cardiopulmonary arrest. Yeah. Let's not talk about brain death right now, okay? We'll talk about it extensively. So how do I know when this happens and why do I care? So I care for, I need to know when someone's dead, right? Because it's important to know. But why do I need to know the precise minute? Like, what's the big deal? So it'll take 5 minutes. No. You're right. But why does American law really mean? You could come up with interesting Yerusha cases in halacha, right, who dies first and who dies second. But in American law, that usually doesn't come up.
You can write down the time of death.
I can write down. So I'll write down the time of death 5 minutes later. Meaning,
why do I
care with precision?
So the hospitals can get rid of people already.
Okay. There's some efficiency.
Well, I mean, there's also scientifically practical.
Yeah, we need to know, right? Okay, and there's this theoretical intrigue and philosophically, we should be philosophically rigorous and, yeah?
In case of an assassination, I guess you know when a president is alive.
Okay, right there, and you could come up with nafkaminas. So, traditionally, this was the only definition of death. In 1968, the Harvard Committee it added the notion of brain death, which we'll talk about.
1968,
the Harvard Committee. The Harvard Committee. Hold on. It's a committee from the Harvard Medical School suggested this definition. In 1981, the President's Commission adopted it and suggested it. Very long break in time. The two reasons the Harvard Committee says we need to redefine death or add a second definition of death, unclear which path they're taking, is it really one or two? Doesn't really matter for our purposes right now. We need to know when to stop treating people. If a person's dead, we shouldn't treat them anymore. We're wasting resources. And organ donation. So why is organ donation important? So organ donation saves lives. We talked about that, right? Pikuach nefesh, it saves lives. So the problem is that, not a problem, there is something called the dead donor rule, which we talked about, right? The DDR, dead donor rule. Okay? You cannot take an organ, a life-sustaining organ, from a living person. Because by doing that, it's sustaining his life, you will kill him. You can only take an organ that sustains life from a dead donor rule, right? So if the heart is necessary to sustain life, you may not remove it from a living patient because you will kill him. If lungs are necessary to sustain life, you may not take them from a living patient because you will kill him. Right? That makes sense. You can't kill one person and save another.
What if they can survive with something else?
You can't kill one person and save another.
It's not life sustaining.
Then it's not life sustaining.
You can replace a certain life sustaining organ with a machine.
So you have to be done. Is that really sustaining life, the machine? But we can't right now, so it doesn't matter. Okay?
It's a dead donor what?
Rule. DDR.
That's American law.
Yeah, it's called the dead donor rule. It's not actually... It's a law because it's called murder.
Right.
You can't murder people. Right? So in bioethics, it's called the dead donor rule. Meaning you're murdering one person and saying no. Right? You can only take organs that sustain life from a dead donor. The dead donor no longer needs the heart because it's not sustaining his life. You can take it out. What's the problem? If you wait until the person dies, what's the problem? So fine, wait till the person dies and take out the organs.
It's gonna die.
The person will die.
Why is the other person gonna die?
No, the organ's gonna die.
Right, the organs are not going to last. There's a problem called, we talked about this warm ischemia. Did we say warm ischemia? I think we did. Warm ischemia.
What does that mean?
That means without oxygenated blood flow, warm is warm, ischemia means death from lack of blood flow. Without oxygenated blood flow, the cells in the organ start to die. So if there's no blood flow in the person's body, then the cells of the heart are going to start to die, right?
But and the person would still be human.
Let's say he's dead. No, the guy died. Let's say the guy's dead. The patient died, but now he has no blood flow. So his heart cells are dying. So if I take that guy's heart and put it to someone else, it's not going to work. How fast do you have to go? So they studied it. So there's something called warm ischemia. So if you've ever seen any TV show remotely related to this, today what we do, even though we have different protocols to do it, the minute you take the organ, you put it on ice. You ever seen this? They put it on ice. They always carry it on this ice thing.
Rat race.
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. Uh-huh. Apparently the consensus is yes.
Absolutely.
So you put it on ice. Why do you put it on ice? Biochemistry people, why do you put it on ice?
Slow it down.
Slow down what?
The decaying process.
Enzymatic reactions occur more slowly in the cold. And so all chemical reactions are slowed down on ice. And so all the decaying process, all the apoptosis, all the cell death is much slower. Right? So regardless of how we're going to get the organ out of there, the minute we do, we're going to put it on ice. And we're going to infuse the guy with cold saline first to make sure that it's cold and that there's coldness in his body. We want the organ to last as long as possible. If you wait until the heart stops and then slice the guy open and pull out the heart, it's not going to work.
Really?
So when do you inject this person?
We'll talk about that, okay? Because can you inject him while he's still alive? We'll talk about that.
That sounds like what Ramal was saying.
Preparing
for death.
Yeah, a little bit. And not only preparing for death, you're doing it to him for no benefit to him whatsoever. It's benefiting someone else. So you're hastening his death, possibly, to benefit someone else.
I mean, does it actually hasten his death?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because there's something crazy that goes on here. Yeah.
His heart is still pumping, is it not?
No, let's say his heart stopped.
Right when it stops. And you
right when it stops.
How long has...
Still, look. So practically, where do you do heart transplants? In the operating room. Where do people die? Not in the operating room. In the ICU. You got to get him to the operating room. You got to sterilize him, right? Because if the thing gets infected or you're not sterile, you don't want the heart from some, right? Sterile means no bacteria, right? When they scrub the guy down, everyone's in ER or Grey's Anatomy or whatever, right? They scrub him with the yellow stuff and they put the sheet on. All those things prevent bacterial infections. You have to scrub. It's going to take a long time. Even if you're ready, still, minutes is too long.
From the second the person's heart stops beating,
it's not going to work. Practically, it's not going to work. It just won't happen.
Give me a time.
I don't know. I know that enough that we had to add another. So brain death means that the heart's still beating, but you're dead. This was such a problem that we had to come up with a new definition of death because we couldn't get around this problem. This problem is almost insurmountable. For the heart. Kidneys is why it was very important. Kidneys can survive without blood flow for a long time. Not a long time, like an hour. So you can have someone without blood flow and take his kidneys out and save him. Okay? So, any questions on this? Warm ischemia?
Yeah, when they inject the live patient with...
So we'll talk about that. Well, let's talk about that in a minute.
So what is the substance that they're injecting?
So usually Coumadin, different thing. We'll talk about it in a second. Okay? Yeah.
So warm ischemia is, I guess, when you die...
You're trying to beat warm ischemia. Warm ischemia is fighting against the organ transplant people. The organ transplant team is fighting warm ischemia. Warm ischemia is killing the organ, and the organ transplant people want to take the organ and put it somewhere else. So let's say you have a patient who's comatose. He's dying. He's not brain dead, okay? The concept of brain death we'll talk about. This patient is not dead according to American law at all. He's not brain dead. He's dying, okay? He's irreversibly dying, hopeless, lying in a coma, in the ICU, and his family wants to make his death more, quote, meaningful. They want to donate his organs. What's the problem? He's alive, right? So he's alive. So we can't donate his organs.
I mean, it doesn't matter what his family says. If he's alive, it's what he says.
He's unconscious in the ICU.
Oh, he's out.
He's never coming back. Irreversibly unconscious, but he's not brain dead. Whatever that means, he does not meet either criteria 1 or criteria 2 of the Uniform Definition of Death Act. He is alive according to American law. That donor rule prevents me from taking his organs out. So what can I do? What I really want, and Yitzhak, this is what you want to do, right? What I really want to do is, the second his heart stops, get in there and get out, even if I can't get the heart, the kidneys will be better, maybe I can get a pancreas, maybe I can get lungs, right? So how am I going to accomplish this? Right? He's not brain dead, so I need to wait till his heart stops. So how am I going to get his heart to stop? And, right? How are we going to do this? So it's called donation after brain death, right? That we'll talk about. And donation after cardiac death. Donation after the heart stops, right? When the heart stops, so the heart and the lungs stop together. When there's no heartbeat, you can't breathe. So this patient in the ICU is on a ventilator. The ventilator is providing him with oxygen, right? And his heart's beating normally. So this is called DCD. Donation after cardiac death or after circulatory death. Either one. So what you're going to do now is you're going to take this living patient. Yeah.
Well, the person's alive.
He's alive. You're taking this living patient to the operating room. He's alive. Right? You're going to prep him for surgery. He's alive.
But this is what you're allowed to do, you say?
This is what happens. Leave allowed out of it. This is American law. We'll talk about halacha in a minute. He's alive. No, he's permanently unconscious.
Okay.
He's permanently unconscious. He will never come back. He's not brain dead. So he's alive, according to both one and two. You take him alive to the ICU and prep him for surgery. He's alive. You shut off the ventilator, which, according to American law, you're allowed to do. According to halacha, as we know from the quiz, only mutter kvendro kvendro vadalevi, right? Both Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe and Rav Schachter and Rav Big Life and Sisley Ezer all think it's us.
What about Rav
Tendler? Rav Tendler thinks us are also. Rav Tendler is the most machter on these things. I haven't pinned him down precisely as to his shita, so I didn't present it. He presents an opinion of Rav Moshe, I think. I'm not precisely sure how he holds on this. He is one of the most difficult to convince to ever shut off a ventilator. So, in American law, you can stop a ventilator, right? So you stop the ventilator. Now what happens? The person's not getting any oxygen, right? So he might be still breathing on his own a little bit, right? The ventilator was there to help him. So he's breathing on his own a little bit, but inadequately. So now he's laying in the operating room, prepared for surgery, not breathing very well. What's going to happen to him? He'll suffocating. I mean, he's laying there. He'll stop breathing at some point, right? And when he stops breathing, what will happen to him?
His
heart will stop beating. Oh, good. His heart stopped beating. Wonderful. So his heart stopped beating, and now we're at point B. Point A happened, and B, right, really quickly. Because not only did his heart stop beating, he's strapped to an EKG machine. I know his heart stopped beating. Is he dead?
Yeah.
His heart stopped beating this second. Is he dead?
No.
Oh, when did you find out that his heart stopped beating?
Really? What happened? C and D. Dude.
Oh, irreversible. Oh.
Right? So D happens, right? In the operating room. So he's not. Is he dead or not?
No.
He's not dead, right?
I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, even the law requires irreversible. The law says irreversible.
No, he's not dead.
So he's not dead. We all agree he's not dead, right? So now there's two ways that his heart can come back. There's something called auto-resuscitation, which you can figure out on your own, right? I can't spell.
And why is he not dead? Because you can bring it back?
Because he's only at point B. He hasn't hit point C. It's not it's reversible.
How do you know?
There's something called auto-resuscitation. Yeah. His heart can start spontaneously on its own.
But right now, it's done. It's dead right now.
Hold on. We talked about it last time. We had this out last time. We're not going to have it again. Hold on.
I still don't get it.
But the law says he's not dead.
Because
he's not irreversible. There's something called auto-resuscitation. It can come back on its own.
Yeah.
Randomly. We don't know why. People whose heart stops can start beating again. It's called the Lazarus effect.
Yeah. Coming back implies that it's not there now.
Hmm? Called the Lazarus effect for
like the
crystallographical reference. What?
Is it like based on like the
we have no idea. Not beating. No beating. Flatline. Comes back. Happens.
Like an electric kind of thing going on.
It comes back. Nothing. Flat EKG to EKG. And then we can do it ourselves, right? And then we can do CPR. Okay? So auto resuscitation can only exist for a little bit of time. Let's say 2.5-3 minutes. Okay? So this is all not real numbers, but let's say this can be for 3 minutes.
That's not after 3 minutes, you know that's not happening.
Yeah? And let's say I can do CPR for up to 10 minutes.
And if he doesn't come back in 10 minutes, he's for sure gone.
If he doesn't come back, if I don't initiate CPR in 10 minutes, I cannot get the heartbeat back. When is he dead? His heart stops at 10 o'clock. What time is he dead? 10-10, is that the agreement?
Yes.
Well,
10-11.
Why 10-11? You just, well, you're being a town, right? Just in case, just to be sure. Not 10-03. Right?
No. Why? No.
No? Yes or no? Anyone 10-03?
No.
Anyone 10-03?
I'll take it.
Okay, so there's no law on the books. We do the surgery at 10:05. At 10:05, they slice the guy open. 5 minutes. Each hospital, sorry, that's not true at all. Each hospital determines on their own how long they want to wait. Most hospitals wait 5 minutes.
What do some hospitals wait?
Some hospitals wait 2 minutes. Some hospitals wait 3 minutes. Some hospitals wait 6 minutes. Some hospitals wait 7 minutes. With three babies in the University of Arizona, they waited 75 seconds. So, now we really need to be clear, is it B or C?
You're already going to wait 75 seconds, you might as well not wait at all.
They say with babies, this is different.
Oh, okay.
They want to say with babies, auto resuscitation is different. But with babies, CPR is likely longer. Okay?
But if you're not going to do CPR...
So that's the saying. So they say, what does irreversible mean? I have been, and I've said it on purpose, what does irreversible mean? I can think of several definitions of irreversible.
Come back to life.
I understand. What does irreversible mean, though? It can come back. It's possible. It means impossible. Right?
Well, wait, how do you mean impossible?
It cannot. Irreversible cannot come back. Irreversibly gone. It will never. It's not possible to get this heart to beat again without divine intervention, which, again, we're not going to rely on here. Alternatively, you could say it... practically will not.
So this you're explaining based on the definition of irreversible why they don't have to wait the full 10 minutes.
Why they argue that they don't have to? I think it's crazy.
Why?
Why do I think it's crazy? Because hold on, practically will not. They mean it really means permanently.
They have unanimously decided they're not going to do it. So what's their procedure?
Not only are they not going to do it. This patient is DNR. The patient's DNR, so to do it by is assault.
What?
Meaning when a patient's DNR and you do CPR on the person, just let's get clear. When you do if a person's DNR, do not resuscitate, do not do chest compressions in shock. When you do it, you violate an assault.
This person's DNR.
That's the rule. How are we gonna get around if we wait till 10:10, we're losing organs by the minute here, okay? We really want to shorten this time as much as possible.
So if he's DNR then.
Because I won't do it, but it's possible. So which one of your, which irreversible is what? Is it irreversible one or two?
No, it depends. It depends
on
if
what?
You're allowed to do CPR or not.
But it's possible. The law prohibits me from doing CPR.
It's possible. Right.
The law prohibits, but practically if I did it, his heart would come back. So did his heart irreversibly stop? Let's get a better question. Forget that. Let's say I'm right. Fine. Let's say you're right. Let's say it's permanent. I will not do CPR, and therefore he's dead because his heart has passed the auto resuscitation marker, and I will not do CPR, so he's dead now, right? The reason they did 75 seconds in Arizona is because they wanted the hearts. They then took that heart from three babies, not at the same time, and implanted it into another baby. When it starts beating in the recipient, what happened? Now that heart is beating, right? It's not irreversibly stopped, is it?
The heart isn't, but the entire system was.
I know, but I'm declaring the person dead because his heart irreversibly stopped. So let's get back to the first question. Is it one or two? Is one or two right? The fact that the law prohibits me from doing CPR, does that mean the guy's dead? If I did CPR, his heart could come back. So,
but you're not.
I haven't reached point C. Point C is a moment in time when it becomes irreversible. You're going to say death is defined by the law. And if I did it, so let's say I did it. Let's say I violated the law. I assaulted the guy. I assaulted him. I'm not saying you should do this. You violated the assault, and you got his heartbeat back. So is he dead or not? Is the DNR on the books?
Is it CPR doesn't exist? It's like you're existing
it's
sometime
CPR,
in the past.
But, it does exist.
But
you're with it. The law's prohibited. No, the law prohibits me if I can. I'm not willing to lose my license and go to jail over it, but I could. So does my ability to do this, does the law then redefine? It's not irreversible.
Because we can't, it's too abstract when we're looking to determine when death took place and what are the factors behind the death taking place. We need the law to kind of, you know, set certain boundaries in this particular case.
So the law doesn't say.
What?
I told you the law. The law says that it's assault to do CPR on a DNR patient.
The implication is don't do it.
DNR says it's assault. That doesn't mean that he's means on any patient you can't.
You're not allowed to do it. It means you're not allowed to do it.
Right.
It
so what?
That cross, you know, CPR.
It's still but it's still possible. It doesn't make it impossible. It's just practically not going to happen.
It's no longer an option.
But if I did it,
it's no longer an option. That means it can't be.
But if I did it, okay, fine. But if I did it, but if I did, but what if I violated the law and did it?
Then
he was dead or not? You can't have a law that depends on whether I want to follow it. You can't have a moment of death that depends on whether or not I want to follow the law. That's crazy. So most bioethicists are really upset about this. Most bioethicists do not like this at all, because we don't want to say that permanently irreversible counts. Because this is not what the law meant. When the law said irreversible, they meant irreversible. Cannot. Not permanently. Irreversible means the person is dead because if is death is defined by cardiopulmonary arrest, when the heart and the breathing stop, it means when they stop in such a way that they can't come back. They can't come back. Not that they won't. Death is not going to be defined based on my actions. It's going to be defined in a moment in time. That moment in time is not going to be defined as whether I act or don't. The death of somebody else is not going to be defined on whether I act or I don't act.
Since one is a moment not defined by whether people act.
Whether other people...
Come on.
This guy's dead because I chose not to do anything, but if I chose to do it, he's not dead. That's crazy.
Dead versus not dead.
He's dead depending on whether or not I do something. He's dead whether or not I...
Yes, it's always dependent on whether or not a lightning bolt comes and restarts his heart. It's dependent on actions around the body.
It depends on my actions. What about your actions? Anyone from a different country, he's dead or not dead. Death is now going to be dependent on whether we're going to A, follow the law, and B, what law is appropriate.
It's dependent on actions that surround the body as well as the body. That's the that's reality. Unless it's in a vacuum.
No, so you can say no.
It's the one thing, a body on a rock in the middle of space. The things
it's not possible. If it's not possible, it's not possible. If it's possible, so then
It's much easier just to define it the other way.
It's much easier. It doesn't make it true.
No. I'm saying the other way, meaning that dead is
permanent.
We're throwing around things like... things bringing him back,
We just use that as a phrase.
No,
that doesn't mean it's true.
It's a true implication.
No, it's not at all.
He was somewhere and now he's
not.
Back.
Not at all.
Yes,
not at all.
His system is not working. It's not working. It's
it
not.
Could.
It's not.
It could work right
it's
now.
Not. It's
it hasn't
not.
Stopped.
It's
no.
It's not, meaning it can't.
It
when
can.
It can.
Oh, it absolutely
when it
can.
It does.
No, it absolutely can.
But it's
you're
not,
just not
so
giving
it
what it needs to work. The fact that I'm not giving it what it needs to work.
It can't.
It's not, because it can't.
But I could give it what it needs. Let's say I run in there and do it. Let's say I run in and violate the law. Maybe I will.
You made up your mind, and you're not. So therefore you're not.
And let's say I come into let's say I think this is so crazy that I come into the operating room, the operating room and do CPR on the guy. And his heart comes back. So was he dead or not?
Yeah, he was dead.
He was dead and now he's back?
Yeah.
The law does not recognize that phenomenon. The American
if
law and halacha doesn't recognize that ability.
Have the power to do that. Have decided we are not going to do CPR.
So that's the argument. So this guy, so Dr. James Burnett, he argues that irreversible means permanent. Okay? He's one of the few, just to give you the names. Dr. James Burnett, James L. Burnett. He's one of the people who argue that it means permanent. He's pretty much alone in the camp of bioethics arguing this. And he says, well, otherwise we're going to have a big problem. Which isn't really a good argument, in my opinion, that otherwise we'll have a big problem. But he tries to argue otherwise. I can send you articles if you're interested. Dr. Robert Veach is another bioethicist who's very involved in this. He thinks the whole thing is just silly. So Dr. Robert Veach says, yeah, we'll have a big problem, so what should we do? We should say that the guy who's permanently unconscious is dead. Okay, that would solve our problem, right? If he was dead to begin with, then I don't have to do this whole game. I could just, which is a lot crazy. That's a lot crazy. We shouldn't define this guy's permanent unconscious as dead. But if you did that, then you don't have to play this game, right? Because I don't think it was hard to stop. I could just take it to the operating room because I was hard.
We don't necessarily know permanent unconscious until...
We do. Let's say we know. Let's say we know. Yeah.
But what I'm confused about, and I don't know if we're necessarily taking this into account, is the patient's own wishes. I mean, if he's DNR...
Well, he has to be DNR for this. They won't do it unless he's DNR.
Right.
But you don't get to choose your moment of death. You get to choose what's done to you.
Right. So they're, but they're not killing him. They're just not.
I didn't say they killed him.
I know, but I'm saying
maybe they did, maybe they didn't. That's a different discussion. They, no, did they violate Los? Did they violate Los Alamos and put him into the Caesar?
Yes.
No. Let's say at moment, at minute four, did the Sicilians think they violated Los Alamos?
Yes, because but the Sicilians also doesn't really believe in DNRs.
Fine.
So
you can't violate Los Alamos and Mariah if the man's dead.
But he's not dead.
Only according to the Sicilians. According to everyone else, he is dead.
No, the other opinions don't say he's dead.
How do you even know?
I'm sorry. So you're arguing. Let's hold on. You say 10-10 or 10-5 or 10-3.
I think it should be 10-10.
Oh, fine. I thought you were saying something else. Sorry.
But nonetheless, I think that the other opinions would still say that he.
I have no chiyuv. I'm allowed to stand by. I have no chiyuv to do that. I'm allowed to also do CPR if I want.
Right.
Right. Even Reb David HaLevi says you can. You just don't have to.
But I'm saying, what's the actual difference between 10:05 and 10:10? Is the 5 minutes that substantial?
Let's say it is for the pancreas. Let's say the liver. We're talking like real. The 5 minutes can make a difference, life or death decisions. Yeah. I made up the pancreas and the liver. Just
what is the percentage that if you did CPR, then he'd actually come back?
I don't know.
So if it's 5%, then.
Okay.
Can we say,
so you're adding another factor. What is this patient's overall condition? Okay, fine. You want to say, well, let's say it's 50%. 51%. Let's say it's 51%. Or 90%.
Isn't there a lot of concept that if it's X percent, then you can ignore it almost?
It's got to be pretty low to ignore, generally. Yeah. But
guy stopped breathing. His heart's dead.
I have a defibrillator in my hand. I'm standing here.
Work?
I have no idea.
But.
Maybe I have percentages. You're right. So you're adding another factor. What's the likelihood that it'll come back? Now, in all honesty, there will be a graph that will be sloping downward, right? The farther out in time you get, the less likely it'll come back. At 4 minutes, it'll be a lot more likely than at 10 minutes. Right? So you want to say maybe not 10-10, but not 10-03.
No, I think that 10-03...
You're saying sometime between 10-03 and 10-10?
Has to find out.
Okay, so sometime between 10-03 and 10-10, based on statistics that I have no idea, I don't know.
Okay.
Fair enough, but sometime... It could be vague, sometime between 10-03 and 10-10. That's a valid argument. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fine, okay.
And I also think that that's okay because the CPR is something that we're doing to him, whereas the auto resuscitation is something that occurs spontaneously, right? So, if he's DNR, then yes, he's not dead, and you are performing surgery, and what one can call murdering this guy by taking out his organs.
Hasting his death, let's say.
Hasting his death, but at the end, ultimately comes with patient autonomy. So if he's DNR, then that's it.
In American law.
Yeah.
According to Sicily, I don't really care.
Right, yeah.
No, so American law is different than halacha. We agree.
Right.
So, but practically, is it, so Dr. Veach argues that the person's death cannot be dependent on whether I want to follow the law or not. Some patient lying in front of me's moment of death cannot be determined upon whether I choose who's standing here to follow the law. It has to be objectively defined, not defined by whether I choose or not to follow the law. Okay? So that's DCD. So now, that's called controlled DCD. Why is that called controlled? So you'll see it sometimes called as a CDCD. Because we took him to the operating room and shut off the ventilator and waited for his heart to stop in the operating room. There's something called so that's not so common, right? I mean, you have to find the right patient in the hospital who agrees to this, and the team's ready. This is right. These people are not doing well. They're dying. They're not brain dead. They're dying. Not very common. More common, patients have a heart attack and die, right? So. What if let's say a person has a heart attack and dies. So that's more common, right? People don't die in the operating room with the ventilator shut off and waiting for the heart to stop. So a person dies or has a heart attack a block and a half away from the hospital. And you call the EMTs and they try to resuscitate him. They're not successful. They try to resuscitate the guy. They're not successful. Is he dead?
No.
Why?
Because you can rush him to the hospital.
No. They're using all the technology. They can't resuscitate him. They brought him to the emergency room. No help.
Is he dead? He's dead.
He's dead, right?
That's an irreversible cardiac.
Meaning, Point A happened, point B happened, point C happened, point D. I'm trying, it's not working. Yeah. Meaning, if I practically can't reverse the guy, I'm trying, it's not working. Point D passed, he's dead, right? If somehow I can get his organs to come back, prevent warm ischemia, he's okay, right? So how am I going to get blood to flow through his body? So let's say I take the guy, right? So let's say I have in the field all the same equipment to have in the emergency room. So we go out to someone's house, right? EMTs, we get called out, we go, try to resuscitate the guy, nothing doing. Family says he wants to be an organ donor. So I take the guy on the stretcher, like this, and I tilt him like this. He's dead, right? He's dead. So this is maybe the blemase, but I'm tilting him like this, and what's happening?
Blood is flowing,
right? Blood is flowing.
How fast do you do it?
I don't know. Let's say he's not so heavy, okay? We'll just use the example, right? We're tilting him like this, and blood is flowing, okay? I'm getting blood to flow.
It's not real flow.
No. So he's still dead, right? The fact that I'm doing this, he's dead, right?
Blood is getting around.
No, very precisely. Is he alive or dead? Because I did this.
He's dead.
But his organs are getting blood, right? So I'm keeping... No. So practically, they're not dying right now, so I can use them. But he's really dead, right? So what if I then blew into his mouth every couple of minutes and he had oxygenated blood?
Still dead,
right? I'm going like this and he's still dead. You all agree? And if I did this all the way to the operating room and then I kept his kidneys going, right? I kept his kidneys going. So with blood flow, I now extended my hour. Maybe I have 2 or 3 hours. I'm doing like this and blowing air into his mouth every couple of minutes. He's dead and I preserved his kidneys. You all agree? Why do I care? How many people in this country are waiting for organs? So now I only have the numbers from last year. In end of 2010, how many people are waiting for organs?
105,000.
How many people are waiting for kidneys?
40,000.
Over 90,000 people are waiting for kidneys. Kidneys are the number one organ in demand. How many people are waiting for hearts? In the end of last year? 3,100. Okay? So if I can preserve as many kidneys as possible, I'm going to save a lot of lives. I'm very interested to know right now, is this guy dead? The guy who I'm tilting and blowing in his mouth. We all agree he's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah? So now what if I was a lot more fancy?
Let's say we all agree that he's dead. And after, once you take him to the hospital...
His heart can never beat again. Not possible.
So, I don't have a problem, but you can't
just proving the point. We all agree. It's good.
Yeah, fine.
Right, maybe it's a bullshit. Fine. So what if I'm a lot more sophisticated than that and not doing this, okay? What I'm going to do is get a thumper. A thumper is going to pound on the guy's chest, like this. It's going to look like CPR. But his heart's never going to start. What's going to happen is the machine's going to squeeze his heart, and it's going to push out blood. Then it's going to lift up, and the heart's going to be empty, suck blood in, and push blood out. So there's a thumper on his chest. Still dead?
Yeah.
Still dead. And if I put on a vent, instead of blowing in his mouth, I put a ventilator in him, he's still dead?
Yeah.
He's still dead, right? Still dead. So,
he's dead.
Good, this is not posture, okay? Because when they presented in the media, let me tell you why. Okay, this is obvious, right?
Yeah.
So I've talked about it, I hope. So what happened is, there's a protocol out of Bellevue Hospital that says the following. This is for uncontrolled DCD. Uncontrolled because I don't control the time when his heart's going to stop, right? That if a person has a witnessed heart attack, has to be witnessed, so I know what happened to the guy, right? Within a 10-minute radius of Bellevue Hospital, 10 minutes to find out how quickly the ambulance can get there, the following protocol is in place. The EMTs will go out and try to resuscitate the person. So they had a witness, meaning we know when he had a heart attack because it was witnessed, right? So I know how much time we're taking. And there's some time element, and they'll try to resuscitate the guy. And let's say they cannot, not successful, point D is reached, and let's say, I don't remember the number, it's within a half hour of the witnessed heart attack. They can then call another team, and they get consent from the family that this person wants to be an organ donor. Now, what's really going to only get saved is his kidneys, right? But like I said, over 90,000 people need kidneys, and the dead person has 2, right? He needs neither. So they can call a second team, which they didn't really give a good name to, or it's like the Organ Procurement Ambulance, and you can imagine the New York Post had a field day with this, that will come in, that will... put the thumper on the guy's chest and put a ventilator down his throat. Now he's still dead, right?
Yep.
He's still dead.
All he is right now is just a container that preserves...
Yes. However, so there are 2 concerns. So this is a protocol in place around Bellevue Hospital. They can only do this twice a day. The concern, though, is that sometimes the EMTs might not try hard enough to resuscitate somebody. So that's a concern. Okay. Practical, how do we deal with that? I don't know. So one of the ways they dealt with it was you could only make two of these calls a day. So you practically don't know if they'll come or not, so you can try your best to save the guy. They have other safety features in that they'll be there.
10-minute span, what was that?
That was just, you have to make it in some way that they'll get to the hospital in time.
Who does?
That the patient will get to the hospital. So they only get within a 10-minute driving radius around Bellevue Hospital. That's where the protocol is.
Which is a 1-1.
No, the ambulance. You're saying it's Midtown, but like an ambulance, that's a little bit more.
Well, first of all, why do they need it?
Because they don't want the guy to be too far away. From how long is the transport? Meaning, even this thumper and ventilator, I mean, come on, it's a little bit crude, right? We want to get this guy in the OR as fast as possible, right? We're using crude methods. I mean, I was shaking the guy and blowing into his mouth, but it's the same idea. It's still not like, we're not really getting his organs all that perfused. So people were concerned that, wait a minute, and this is how the media portrayed it a lot. So we all agree he's dead, right? The media portrayed it, but his blood's flowing and his oxygenated blood is flowing through his body. Oxygenated blood is flowing through his body. Fact.
Damn liberal.
If you think that death is defined by the cessation of circulation, do you now have a problem? Do you have a problem because donation, if there's circulatory death, his circulation is now, circulating blood is now circulating. Is he dead? Is he experiencing cardiopulmonary arrest? Oxygenated blood is circulating through his arteries. There's a very, very fundamental difference. What's the fundamental difference?
He's doing it.
It's completely, completely artificial, 100% artificial. It's not like the guy's on the ventilator and his heart's beating on his own, right? Even the guy who can't breathe, we put him on the ventilator, the heart's beating on its own. Here, the heart is not beating at all. Nothing in this body is happening at all that is not being caused absolutely 100% from the outside. Right?
Yeah.
So, even if you think that death is defined by the lack of circulation, and this guy has circulation, it's not the lack of circulation, it's the lack of spontaneous circulation. Right? When we define death, we made that list, everything needs to be spontaneous, right? If you say death is defined by the inability to clap. If you can't clap anymore, you're dead. If I take a corpse and put his hands together like this, is he dead?
Yes.
Of course he's dead.
What if
I don't know what that means. This is obvious, I hope, but the media really got this.
But what about patients who are on a respirator and who are,
their heart's beating.
In a persistent
next year.
Right. So
next year.
I was going to ask this. Does anything make the difference the fact that there was a break in the middle? Meaning, like a lot. If somebody's on a ventilator and a heart machine. I forgot what it
is. This thumper.
Yeah, thumper.
Call the thumper because it thumps.
They're comatose. And we have, obviously we have serum on top of serum about when you're allowed to take them off and these things.
No, his heart's not beating. This guy's heart's not ever beating. That's why he's on the thumper.
What?
The guy who's on the thumper, the heart's not beating. The heart's still.
So there's...
I'm just tilting him like this. I'm tilting his...
No, there's nobody...
Yeah. This guy has... The Sicilianer thinks this man is dead. Bukitzer. If the Sicilianer thinks you're dead, you're dead.
Why is the Sicilianer think he's dead?
He has no chius atzmi. Nothing spontaneous.
Right. Is there a break in the...
No, because nothing spontaneous is happening, nothing inherent to this person, nothing intrinsic. Nothing is happening from the body itself. The same way that if clapping again, and I take the corpse and clap him, right, the same thing. There's no difference when I thump him, or I go like, or I tilt the body back and forth.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just portrayed poorly by the media. So, one more point, and I think this is fascinating and really scary. So in DCD, DCD is hard to do, practically, right? So we all agree that this Bellevue protocol is... as long as the proper safeguards are in place, that the EMTs don't give up too early. This is great, I think.
Awesome.
I'm a big supporter of this. I think we, more than 90,000, 105,000 who need organs, need kidneys, right? Hearts is very, very low. We need to sell the kidney. Why? Because of the diabetes.
I mean, if you can even take kidneys from living people.
People don't do.
Wow.
Because of diabetes. Diabetes affects the kidneys, and the diabetes epidemic in this country is getting worse. People need kidneys. Over 90,000 people in this country need kidneys. 3,000 need hearts, and that's all you hear about. 90,000 something people need kidneys.
Express those to control DCD, though.
So control DCD is a big problem.
I understand how it's a problem.
So wait. So wait until 10:10.
But at 10:10, the liver and the pancreas is
fine. Okay, but I can't kill the guy. So at least take his kidneys.
But his DNR.
We talked about that. So let's get back to that. You know what? Let's get back to that. So we're all good at the Bellevue protocol. I like the Bellevue protocol. The problem with DCD is that, well, what do you have to do? We said DCD, you take the guy to the operating room, and you shut off the ventilator, and the heart. You wait for the heart to stop. And then you wait 5 minutes, and you slice open his body, right? Why do families not like that?
Because it seems like you're killing the guy.
It seems like you're killing the guy, but no, they consent. Families want to say goodbye. They want to be by the patient when he dies. Okay, so let's do this in the ICU. Stop the ventilator in the ICU. We do it all the time, right? Patient autonomy in this country can stop the ventilator. And when you stop the ventilator, the heart doesn't stop immediately. It takes a little bit for the heart to stop, and the family can stand by and say their goodbyes, say, kill him.
How long does it take? Like an hour?
Depends what, no, it depends what's for the patient. I had a patient once who, she was actually brain dead, but that's not the point. She was on the ventilator, and we shut the ventilator off, and we told her the family she was dead, right? Because she's brain dead, whatever that means. Problem is her heart was still beating, but she's dead, according to the law.
You can't tell her that, though.
Hmm? You can, because there's an EKG machine going like this. So I said, before you call the family in, shut off the machine. And the ICU fellow's like, why should we shut off the machine? She's dead. Like, because the little beep, 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 beep thing on the EKG is not going to make them feel very secure. Families want to be there. So can you do it? What if the person, we take the ventilator off from the ICU, and then we wait for the heart to stop, and then we transport them to the operating room? Way too long, right? Big problem. Big problem. Not enough time. So what can you do? Right, what can you do? So, you can do the following. Let's say you do it in the ICU and the patient's heart stops, right? So what if I could then somehow, so I could then take the body and do this, right? I could then tilt the body, right? Right, I can then tilt the body, or I could put the thumper on, or I could do something else. But the thumper is only gonna, it's not really the most effective thing. So what I wanna do, or I can, in Detroit, put the patient on an ECMO machine. Extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. Extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. Meaning, you hook one probe, one attachment to the on top of the heart, let's say, and one below the heart. Above and below, a little bit metaphorically. You get the blood out of the patient, it goes to the machine, it oxygenates it, and puts it back in. Right? The heart stopped. Right? The heart stopped. We haven't necessarily reached C yet, but the heart stopped. So now I can put the patient on ECMO, and it's just like pumping oxygenated blood through his body. Is he alive? Let's say you reach C. Let's say we reach D.
He's dead.
He's still dead.
Once
right?
You reach D.
Once I reach D, he's dead. You have to put it on the ECMO machine, right?
Right. He's only alive in Detroit.
This was a suggestion in Detroit. Now, the problem is that we want to put him on this machine really quickly. We're not going to wait for D. We're not even going to wait for C. We're going to wait just for B.
Wait, how'd you say he's dead if we haven't gotten to C yet?
So let's say we do it after D.
Oh, okay.
Let's say he's dead.
After D?
After D. I put him on the ECMO machine. He now has oxygenated blood flowing through his body. He's no better than the Bellevue guy, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I do it after B, but before C.
Question. I mean, is that hastening his death? Is that not?
Let's say it's not. It is, but let's say it's not. Is he dead or not?
No.
Before C, he's not dead, right? Now, what if I tell you that when you expose a stopped heart to oxygenated blood, it restarts?
No.
And that's what happens. So if I put the patient on the ECMO machine here. Whoa, it's potentially reversible. If I put this patient in an ECMO machine, his heart will start beating again.
Has anyone
and then everyone agrees he's alive, right? His heart's beating. Don't know.
Has anyone ever literally come back and started walking from that?
The ECMO machine was not developed for this purpose. The ECMO machine was developed to get people's hearts to beat again. For people whose lungs are, it's for babies whose lungs are immature, infants who are born prematurely, whose lungs are immature, who can't oxygenate their own blood, and this helps them oxygenate their blood. It can be used for patients whose hearts aren't, right? This was not developed for this purpose. If I put the ECMO machine here, between B and C, and the heart comes back and starts beating again, is he alive or dead? I've never reached C.
He's alive.
He's alive. So that's a big problem if I want to take his organs out, right?
Yeah, a little bit. So don't use, so, I mean...
But I want the organs. I wanted to get more patients. I have a problem. Patients, families don't want to give me the patients to take to the operating room to do it. Right? But they want to have the relative die in the ICU. The only way to have the relative die in the ICU and to allow this is to still get the organs is to put it on the ECMO machine. And then put it on the ECMO machine, the heart's going to start beating again. And then there's no death after circulatory, there's no donation after circulatory death.
It might not.
But it might. Let's say it does. So then I told him he was dead, I put him on this machine. So what do you want to do? So now you're a sneaky doctor. What are you going to do?
Not tell the family.
The EKG is beeping. They're standing there.
Turn the machine off.
It's a miracle.
No. You can't take the heart out. You can't take... He's not brain dead. If you want to determine... He's not brain dead. He's only dead because his heart stopped. But now his heart's beating. Naturally.
He's
bad. So what you can do...
Back.
What do you mean? I don't know. I don't care if he can come regain consciousness. He's alive. His heart's beating. He's not brain dead. The only reason he died, we said, was because his heart stopped. Now the heart's beating again.
Wait, so you talking about when the heart's beating again on the ECMO machine or it's spontaneous?
No, the ECMO machine just takes the blood out, oxygenates it, and put it back.
Okay.
Then the ECMO machine does not touch the heart. Let's say.
Fine.
The heart starts beating because now oxygenated blood is flowing to the heart. It starts beating. So if you're a conniving doctor, what will you do? Well, then you won't have the organs. Well, you're sneaky.
You're too ethical.
Be less ethical.
Tell the family he's dead.
No! Don't be that unethical. No. Okay. So I said be unethical. You're really being really unethical. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to prevent the heart from coming back. They're going to load lidocaine into the ECMO machine. Because even if the heart comes back, the lidocaine will prevent it from going.
So poison comes out
of the... Yeah, we're going to poison his heart.
Yeah.
Or we're going to clamp...
You can't poison the dead guy. That's smart.
No, he's not. But if I didn't poison, he'd be alive.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
This is a little bit ridiculous, no? This
dead.
Is a little bit crazy.
So preempting
or when they put the ECMO machine on, they're going to clamp the heart.
Yeah.
So that oxygenated blood does not flow through the heart.
The only reason you could poison
him... This is ethical gymnastics.
The only reason you could poison him with the ECMO machine
if you're going to do that.
Because I don't want the heart, I want all the other organs. Let's make sure we understand the disease.
You want the blood from
the heart. I don't care if the heart works, right? The heart I'm not going to be able to use. I'm going to be able to use all the other organs. I want the ECMO machine for the other organs. So I'll sacrifice the heart. I'll clamp the heart so it doesn't go. Or I'll load the ECMO machine with lidocaine so that should the heart start, it won't really start because the lidocaine will poison.
But don't you need oxygenated blood for organs?
Yeah, so it'll go. He's on the ECMO machine. The lidocaine will only affect the heart.
You need to get like one pump.
No, the ECMO machine is taking blood out from the body, oxygenating and putting it back in.
So it's only feeding the organs, not the heart.
It's feeding the heart too, right? It's feeding the heart too, so the heart restarts, right? That's the problem. So how do I prevent the heart from restarting? If I put lidocaine into the blood that's coming back, right, into the tube, I inject some lidocaine, the heart will never restart.
If he's DNR, though, and you're giving, and his heart restarts, then that's assault.
Wait. I didn't assault. I didn't do anything. I put him on the ECMO machine.
CPR. If he's DNR and you do CPR, it's an assault. It's the same thing here.
For sure.
So if I put him on the ECMO machine, I assault, and if I put the ECMO machine with the lidocaine, what do I do?
If you give him the ECMO, without the lidocaine or without the clamp,
you think that's assault?
It's the same. Why is it any different?
You're right, but he's consenting to this. Well, his family's consenting, yeah.
His family's consenting to the ECMO machine for the purpose of the organ,
yeah.
Not for the purpose of reviving.
But I just wonder, was he dead or alive?
Oh, yes, he's dead.
He's alive.
He's alive, and if I give him the lidocaine, then he's not alive?
Hold on.
That's crazy.
No, that's my thing. That's
not
thing.
Hold on. Let's see how I go. So, yeah.
Why is he allowed to give him lidocaine?
I have no idea.
Why is anybody allowed to
give him? I have no idea.
Oh, God. Yes,
I don't buy this at all. I think it's gymnastics.
The reason you're allowed to do the lidocaine is because he's dead.
It makes me feel better.
Because he's dead.
No.
That's
he's not dead.
He's
not
dead.
If I didn't give him the lidocaine, would he be alive or dead?
For how long?
Potentially.
Alive. I don't care for how long.
Forget
statistics for a minute. If I put him on the ECMO machine, his heart will start again?
But that's a contradiction in the law, then. If you're allowed to use the lidocaine, it means that the law...
No, the law doesn't address this.
The law doesn't address the lidocaine.
The law doesn't address
this whole thing
in Gonson.
It does anyway. It comes in conflict with it anyway. If you're
allowed to use the lidocaine
and carted off in prison, it means that the lidocaine...
So no one's tried it yet.
...a dead person.
I'm curious to know what the Supreme Court would say on that. Is that true or not? Why are they using lidocaine?
To preempt the possibility.
To preempt the possibility that it'll come back.
Right, but essentially it's poison,
crazy.
Right? So essentially, you're loading him with something that'll stop the heart.
Preemptively stop the heart when I try to resuscitate him.
Right. No, but they're not trying to resuscitate him.
But I am. I'm putting him on the ECMO machine.
You're not trying to resuscitate him.
It's a side effect. It's a side effect of the ECMO machine is that Taka will be alive again.
It's a
life is a side effect of trying to donate his organs.
Right. So that's why the lidocaine.
It's just a little bit crazy, no?
Life,
you're right. Right.
So the poison. The only reason that anybody's not going to prison for that is because they're injecting it into a dead guy.
No, the reason that people aren't going to prison for that is
poisoning a dead person.
Well, if I didn't give it to him, he'd be alive.
It doesn't rub.
No, no. Until I give it to him, he's alive. So I didn't poison the dead guy. I poisoned the guy who has not reached point C yet. You told me he's dead at point C, right? He's dead at point C, right?
Yeah.
I haven't reached that point yet.
Rabbi,
so,
we're not focusing, we're only focusing on the status of living. We're not considering at all quality or safety.
No, is he alive or dead?
But the latter is very important to consider because oftentimes the patient and his family they simply wouldn't want the patient to be resuscitated at all. And they want looking from a more consequential kind of viewpoint, they want to donate the organs to other people.
But I can't if he's alive. I just want to know, is he alive or dead? That's the only question I have right now. If he's alive, I can't take his organs. If he's dead, I can. If he hasn't reached point C, we all argued before that he's alive.
According
he hasn't reached point C until I load him up with the lidocaine.
According to this...
I induced point C. That's crazy.
So that's
I think that's crazy.
Murder.
So you should know, most places do not do this, because it's crazy. I didn't say that. Most places do not do this whole fancy... logic, but this is a little bit crazy. Yeah, no, Dom Mifa. Okay, just Dom Mifa, we'll talk about this again. We'll start with a brain death on Wednesday, but I really like this topic because it's in the news.